Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It is yet another Waiting for Next Year.com official podcast. We are back with you, Josh Plohan, Joe Gilbert, to talk about Hugh Jackson. No, I'm kidding. Well, we might talk about Hugh Jackson, but it's not an emergency podcast for Hugh Jackson and the news that broke earlier. Although I wish it was. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And this podcast, like always, is brought to you by the Evergreen Podcast Network. NFL draft just ended. It's not the... Luckily, I guess it's a good thing that it's not the Browns Super Bowl anymore. But nonetheless, we are here to recap the draft, talk about what's ahead in the offseason. Just anything and everything Browns, and I guess for Browns coaches as well, because we have to talk about Hugh Jackson. It's just, we can't pass it up. So, Joe, I know I can't stress it enough how important Joe was for us. And he covered every single draft pick for us. I think it was nine altogether. Joe Gilbert is, in the wise words of Kevin Durant, this is the only positive thing I will ever say about Kevin Durant. He's a Joe Gilbert's a real MVP. But yeah, so I figured what better way to have Joe on the podcast with us and just recap the draft. I mean, I don't know much about many of these guys. Joe knows a lot more than I do, even if it's a little about some prospects. But let's just go one by one. The Browns obviously didn't have a first round pick. They don't have a first round pick this year, next year, the year after for the trade for the Deshaun Watson. So it's Thursday night was boring, at least for the Browns fans. Yeah. I kind of still like watching the draft just because I don't know.
Yeah, it was an exciting first kind of a lot of people dropping. The quarterbacks weren't going. It was a lot of trades.
And speaking of the first round, I think I would have been irritated if the Browns had a first round pick because at 13, like four receivers went before pick 13. And I would have been so angry with myself.
We would have been stuck with like Treylon Burks and all that kind of tier. It would have been a really frustrating kind of situation.
And I would not have wanted that, honestly. Not Treylon Burks. Not with how loaded this draft class was. Right. But let's just get right into it. I can't even think of pick. They traded down. So they were supposed to have pick 30.
Am I 44. Right?
They were supposed 44. Pick 44. And then they traded down, which in the end, I mean, that was one heck of a trade down for Andrew Berry. He got three picks for one, and it ended up being three solid picks. So at pick 44, let's just talk. I can't even think of Alex Wright.
No.
Martin. I'm so off right now. Sorry. I'm so off. I'm going through like your stories right now, trying to get them in order. Yeah. Martin Emerson, cornerback from Mississippi State. People questioned it first, but looking back, it looks like Andrew Berry and co knew what they were doing because shortly, it was either Friday night or Saturday afternoon, they traded Troy Hill back to the Rams.
Yeah, Saturday.
So yeah, everyone was like, why are you picking a cornerback with your first pick? And it ended up being the third round. But why are you picking a cornerback with your first pick? And then come to find out, it's because they needed a cornerback. It's almost like the trade was done before it was announced, I'm assuming. They probably had the framework of it. So now, talk about Emerson. What he brings to the Browns, what he might do for the Browns, etc.
Yeah, he's a good athlete. He's kind of a different type than what we have in the quarterback room right now. He's a tall guy, really long. He's 6'2", I believe it is. So it's kind of nice to get a little different versatility in there. He's a bit early in my opinion, but they obviously liked him. They kind of liked his versatility and different size. It's always good to have a bigger quarterback in your room to kind of match up better, but. That trade, just going back to the trade, it was a little frustrating, obviously, kind of passing on the guys that were at 44, like Sky Moore, George Pickens, that I was high on. But in the end, it kind of, as the days went on, it kind of made more sense. Like the looking at what the three guys they got out of those picks, and then just seeing that Troy Hill trade, it kind of made it a little bit more to understanding. I still would have probably kept it and kind of picked one of those receivers to see, get an immediate impact, but I understand that the value was just probably too high for him. Getting that many guys on there, getting that many picks for 44 was probably too much to pass up. But yeah, overall, I liked it.
It was almost like a reminder that you shouldn't judge a pick immediately when it happens. Because I know, right. I mean, I do it. I think as fans, especially Browns fans, we love to do it. Like, judge them boom or bust immediately.
Yeah.
And when little did we know, like, they knew that this trade was coming. Let's be honest, it didn't get announced until Saturday, but they knew the trade was coming Friday night. So it's almost, and even now, I mean, it's so hard. It's easy to judge a draft pick immediately, but really, like, you have to give it like at least 2-3 years to see if they pan out. I don't know, but then that takes away like so many people's jobs, let alone us blogging, if we just don't judge a draft pick immediately.
Right. Yeah, I don't like giving out grades, so I think they're kind of stupid. But it's not evaluating the player, more like just where they're taken is what I kind of do. I understand the player and all that, but like just who was on the board, who would you rather have, and seeing if that guy probably could have made it to the other, like another pick. So that's how I kind of evaluate picks there.
Sorry, I thought you were done.
Continue. That's why I 40, that was probably the first pick. Martin was probably my least favorite one. I don't hate it, but I understand it. But I just would have gone in a couple different options, but I understand it.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you said you don't really like grades. I don't mind grades. I get it from like a writing perspective, just because it's something easy to write about. But the thing that I can't stand in regards to any draft is freaking player comparisons. It is the absolute worst. Like, this guy has the next, like, he has the ability to be the next Josh Allen. Like, who cares? How can you compare that?
He's like a third rounder, and he's Josh Allen.
Yeah. NFL, NBA, MLB, even. I mean, there's always like every draft, it seems like, who's next LeBron James? Yeah. No one's the next LeBron James.
Right.
Just like they are who they are. So, I don't mind player grade just because it's something that you need to write about. But I wish we can put an end to player comparisons. But on to the next one. To finish off day three, the Cavs. Friday night, the Browns selected Purdue wide receiver David Bell. As an Ohio State fan, I know a lot about him. It's crazy how much testing matters. It's almost like if you were to compare it to like school.
Well, Alex Wright is first, just to go.
I totally messed it up. All right, so let's.
He was the second third rounder.
I am a horrible host because I already crossed off Alex Wright. I'm in my mind because I said it earlier. I'm a horrible host. We'll go back to Alex Wright, but okay. David Bell. So 99 overall. Yeah, Alex Wright was 78. Duh. It's almost like David Bell got A pluses throughout the quarter, like if it was a school, and then failed the final exam and finished with a C. Because if you don't know, David Bell lit it up at Purdue, but then he had very, 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 very bad testing at the combine. I think he ran like a 4.7. His measurements weren't great. Like literally nothing was great at the combine. Which is, I mean, maybe in hindsight, it's. I obviously want a faster wide receiver, but in hindsight, maybe it's good that he tested poorly because it allowed the Browns to grab him at 99. If he would have tested better, he absolutely would not have been available at 99. He would have been one a top 10 receiver, let alone the 16th receiver taken. So just tell us a little bit about David Bell.
Yeah, I actually did this kind of comparison yesterday. He seems like the almost exact opposite of our last receiver that we took last year, Schwartz. He's kind of like the polar opposites. Like David Bell was highly productive at Purdue, as any Ohio State fan would know. 3 years of production, which is great, and it's just the athleticism. Schwartz, on the other hand, wasn't super productive at Auburn, but he had the just freakish speed. So that's how I kind of compare it a little bit. I love the pick Purdue for David Bell. I think he's a perfect guy for the slot. You don't really want him outside, maybe, though he can do that. But it's probably just give him a little cushion, not having him kind of beat press coverage, because he can do that with his route running, but in the NFL it's going to be a little bit harder, a lot harder actually, to do that with just kind of average athleticism. So just get him in space, and then he's very tough after the catch. He does have solid speed overall. It's not like breakaway or anything like that, but he can make people miss. But and he's super strong for a guy his size. So I really liked it. And just you kind of have to bank on that production. It's like you can't just throw that production away. 3 years high production in the Big Ten, it's hard to ignore, and he's got it. And it's going to be interesting to see how he plays, because he's got everything else that you'd want in a receiver. He's got great hands, great ball skills. He's a physical receiver. He's a good route runner. He's just not a super athlete. So it's similar to Jarvis. Not like exact kind of matches with Jarvis Landry, because I think David Bell's a little bit better ball skills and hands, consistency at least. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they play him. But I love the pick.
Yeah, I love it too, and I'm glad you brought up Jarvis, because I know a lot of people compared him to Jarvis off the bat, just because they'll probably play similar roles. I think the ceiling for David Bell with the Browns is Jarvis Landry, or at least what Jarvis Landry brought. But I know former Waiting for Next Year guy, now with the OBR, Jake Burns, said that you can't really compare the two, just because their body types are different, the speeds are different, just like stuff like that. But now I just lost my train of thought. I was going to say something else. Oh, David Bell, he had like a 4% drop rate at Purdue, which is one of the lowest. And I think it was either in his career or last season. So, I mean, he catches almost everything that comes to him. I mean, he might be slower, but if he can get open and literally catch anything within the vicinity, that is a huge thing. Especially when you think that the Browns already have Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones. And just, I mean...
Yeah,
hopefully
he makes contested catches too.
Hopefully his contested catch rate and drop rate are two most glaring things that make up for that lack of speed.
Yeah, and his route running I think can do that too, because he got open because of that in college. He runs very good routes, so it'll be fun to see him kind of. I think he could be of the kind of the young guys here. He could be one of the more productive guys from year one. We'll see. But I think just the way he went in and at Purdue and just dominated from day one, I think he can at least produce a little bit in year one here.
Yes, and before we move on, the draft or the selection of David Bell at 99. Does that do anything for it doesn't do anything for Amari Cooper and DP I'm just gonna say Donovan Peoples Jones. does it do anything for Anthony Schwartz or any of those lower guys on the depth chart?
Not really. He's kind of a unique guy. He doesn't really match any of the guys' other skills. Like Schwartz is that deep threat speed guy. Amari's the number one. And Donovan Peoples Jones, he's a little bit closer to Donovan's skill set, but I still think I don't think it'll kind of affect him, because we're out. Jarvis Landry's gone, so someone's got to pick up that spot.
Not yet.
Well, yeah, sure, not yet. But I don't know. I just have a hard time seeing Jarvis being back. I could see maybe another receiver, like a Will Fuller, get a little bit more speed here. But I don't know if they'll go towards Jarvis. But we'll see. I think they'll get somebody. I do say that.
Same. And I hope it's a speed guy like Will Fuller. Because, I mean, you already have enough, like, possession guys. You need, like, a deep downfield threat. Even though Will Fuller, it seems like he's been hurt more than half the season every year he's been in the NFL. But I'll take 8 games of him, please. So on to the next one, even though I skipped him because I said it first and I completely forgot about him next. defensive end Alex Wright from UAB. Browns selected him at 78. It was their second pick Friday night. Second pick of the night. Tell me what – I mean, defensive end, we all know – that the Browns need defensive ends. It's a very lackluster room besides Myles Garrett. Obviously, Myles Garrett wins a lot. But besides Miles, they have nothing right now, although it seems like Jadeveon Clowney will be back. I mean, I'm still in the belief that they have, like, a deal with them, but they didn't want to announce it prior to the draft.
I agree with that, yeah.
So, even with or without Clowney, what does Alex Wright bring to the table?
Yeah, he's kind of a work in progress, but his just like kind of the traits that he has, it could be quite a find in the third round. I know a lot of guys at the OBR love the pick, and they showcased him, and he's a big guy. He's got the length that you would love to have. He's a strong guy.
I'm going to interrupt you quick, by the way, and say, yes, he is a big guy, because I had a wedding this weekend, and I was at the Hilton downtown, and it just so happened that Alex Wright, I'm assuming probably all the draft picks probably stayed at the
Hilton. Yeah, they were.
And
all
Alex, there. I walked past Alex Wright, and I'm 6'6". I'm a big dude. And I looked at him, I was like, all right, one, that has to be a Browns player, and two, that is a big boy. All right, but continue.
Yeah, so you kind of love the traits, and it's kind of fun that he's going to be with Myles Garrett. He's going to kind of train under him, and because similarly they're like big, they're both big guys and both really good athletes. So it'll be kind of good to see him work under him. But I think he can be a producer this year. Maybe not as a starter. Obviously, I hope they don't foresee him being a starter.
If he's because a starter that, this
that's
year.
A lot. Oh, that's a man. Lot for a rookie. But yeah, I think he'd be a solid rotation guy. He's got the strength and the athleticism and the stick in right away in the NFL. So it's not going to be kind of a big change for him athleticism wise. So it's going to be fun to see him kind of develop and all that, because he's a guy with one of the highest ceilings of probably the highest ceiling of this class. I would say.
Here's to hoping that he will be the third defensive end and he can rotate in for Clowney and Myles Garrett this year and learn from those two guys. I mean, you can't have two better mentors than that on the same team. So here's to hoping he can learn from those two and not have to be thrown in the fire, because that would not be ideal.
Right. He's similar to Jadeveon, just how powerful he is, you know, how strong he is at the point of attack. So It'll be great if they can get Jadeveon back.
Please.
Getting him just settles that whole position down. They got Chase Winovich. He can be a good rotational guy.
I always forget about Chase Winovich.
I know, right? Yeah, and then you obviously got him now. So it'll be kind of we've kind of had to rely on some less than talented guys over the past few years. So having a four rotation kind of scheme there would be a good move for him. But yeah, Jadeveon just seems like the key to everything.
Which is why I hope Andrew Berry and Jadeveon have like a little hush hush. Although now they can announce the deal whenever now that the draft's over. But I mean, that could go from literally like one of the worst position groups for the Browns to Myles Garrett, Clowney, Alex Wright, and Winovich being like a very, very good group with depth. It's crazy how much one guy can affect that, but please.
I know.
Please just come back, Clowney.
I feel like he just doesn't want to practice. He's just one of those guys that
I don't blame him.
The offseason.
I don't blame him. And like, it's not like this is like a first time thing where like he's holding that. No, he's not holding that, but he's signing a deal later because he did the exact same thing last year.
Like, I think he's done it like 2 or 3 years in a row.
I mean, if just, it means less practice,
if it works for him, Berea,
do it. I'm all for it.
You could show up on day one of training camp and I'll be fine.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so on to day three. And probably if there was one guy that I say would become a fan favorite for the Browns draft picks this year, Perrion Winfrey, Oklahoma, interior defensive lineman. If you haven't watched his Instagram live or his press conference following the draft pick yet, please, please, please do. Because one, you might want to run through a brick wall. And two, you will realize that he will be a fan favorite almost instantly. And I can't even like describe it just because it's
right.
It's crazy. He even barked like a dog. It was crazy.
He did. Yeah, he's even before I heard the interview, he was my favorite pick. I had him in the top 50. That's how high I know.
And right? By the way, Joe's not the only one because I think
David Bell.
But yeah, quite a few people had him at least
had in the top at least 60. Around it. Yeah, yeah. He was my third rated interior defense lineman. It was a great value on day three. I just love his skill set. He's a penetrating guy. He's gonna make plays in the backfield. He was out of position for most of the time in Oklahoma. So once you put him in the right position as a three technique, it's gonna be fun to see him. I really have a high opinion of him. I think he can produce right away. I think he'll be in the rotation right away. And there's really no set starter right now, and I think he can make his way up there pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, looking at those videos, yeah, seeing the highlights, seeing what you said about him, and like what Dane Brugler and all those guys said about him, what a steal! I mean, I hate saying that it was a steal just because what we talked about earlier, but if like so many people have him ranked much higher than where he got drafted, you can't not say that it's a steal. So I'm all for it. I'm all for
Perrion. He was in the running for 44. Like,
so, yeah, it's like, at that too. Right, everyone's like, yeah, if the Browns would have selected him at 44, it would have been a little bit of a jump. Yeah. And then they freaking select him at like 108. Like, holy cow.
Right.
It was
one of the best steals in the draft, I thought.
Yeah. Yes, I completely agree. So that is so far, the Browns traded 44, and they got Martin Emerson, who we already discussed, Perrion Winfrey, and one of the picks that we'll talk about later in a little bit. Oh, you got all three of them? You got all three? I thought they already had the pick.
That's right. You're right.
I was going to say, shoot, they got all three of those for one dude.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, so on to the next one. Probably the most questionable pick of the draft, even though I don't really question it just because...
No, I don't either.
Please, just give me a freaking reliable kicker for the first time since Phil Dawson. Fourth round, second pick of the day three on Saturday afternoon. The Browns selected by far the best kicker in the draft, at least according to the rankings. LSU kicker Cade York in the fourth round, which, by the way, if you think about the fact that the Browns traded a fifth round pick for Amari Cooper, and Cade York was one of three kickers to go in the fourth round. Andrew Berry is a freaking magician. But tell me why Cade York, one, was a solid pick in the fourth round, and two, why he was the best kicker in the draft.
Yeah. So I don't know how to evaluate kickers. I don't think anyone really does.
They make kicks or do they not? That's how I evaluate them.
But the guys I trust, like Daniel Jeremiah, he actually said during the draft that he was the first kicker he had in the top 150 in the last 10 years. So just kind of talent wise, that's what you're looking at. And then kind of one of the guys I kind of I love listening to is Pat McAfee. He's a former punter and all that. He loved the pick too. He loved the talent of York. So just kind of guys that are knowledgeable on the situation. They're very high on York. Most people, I forget who it was, but they said he was higher rated than McPherson last year. So just kind of give you what the baseline of what his talent level is. And, it's just, the Browns have always targeted young guys that have produced early, and he fits that bill perfectly. He came in as a freshman, 18 years old, started right away day one, and he kicked 3 years there, and he produced some huge game-winning kicks. His leg is extremely strong. I think it's 15 kicks over 50 yards. I forget the exact number.
Yes, so, yeah, I think it's 15 as well.
Yeah, he's got the talent, and in Cleveland, obviously it's a different ball game with the wind and all that, but getting a guy with a strong leg obviously helps. And then there's a lot of questions on kickoffs. He didn't do that in LSU, but I forget there was an article that came out that during practice he would just kick it into the stands.
I like out of the stadium better.
Right. The stadium. That would have been even impressive. but yeah, he kicked it in the stands, and just in college they have different touchback rules. You can do it inside the 20, so I can understand why they maybe didn't want him that strong. But just
they were trying to save some footballs, Joe. All the kicks are going outside the stadium.
Right. But if you like look at Justin Tucker, he kicks it out of the end zone almost every time for Baltimore. So,
all right, gotta, Joe Gilbert compares Cade York
to Justin York Tucker. Yes, you heard it here first. Please,
just give me like 80% of Justin Tucker, and that is a solid draft pick.
That is, yeah, right. That's a Pro Bowler.
Like, imagine having a kicker that you could literally, like, you can be inside. That would take so much pressure off the OC and even the offense, too. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're right inside, like, the 30-yard line for a 47-yard kick. You are, no matter what, getting 3 points from here. Just don't do anything right stupid.
Right. And how much frustration do we have of Kevin
Stefanski? Billions of times.
Right. But, like, Kevin Stefanski having to go for fourth down, in that middle tier, because he didn't have any trust in Chase McLaughlin or whoever the kicker was over the past few years.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest, in the NFL, like, kicking in any time, it's a mind game. So hopefully he's like mentally prepared. I'm sure he is. I mean, I'm sure they did those kind
of interviews. That was one of the first things they brought up with him.
Kicking is all a mental game. You just can't get inside your own head. And then obviously, like, the hash marks and the goalposts are different in the NFL compared to college football. But I'd say like more than 50% of it is all mental. So hopefully he succeeds and succeeds early. I know you brought up Evan McPherson from the Bengals. It's crazy how Evan McPherson's rise, being perfect in the postseason and being one huge reason why the Bengals went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, three kickers went in the fourth round. And the majority of the reason for that is Evan McPherson. I mean, Evan McPherson earned a lot of these kids a lot of money.
Yeah, it's you can just look at the two teams in our division. They have two reliable kickers, and it just changes the game.
We have the next Justin Tucker.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And better than Evan McPherson. How about that?
Oh, man. Man, please, just give me a reliable kicker.
This is sarcasm, guys. I'm not going to jinx them.
That's so getting clipped. That's getting clipped out of context. Now we are on to day three. Brown select, which is it's not questionable. It just brings a lot of questions. How about that? The Brown select running back Jerome Ford from Cincinnati with pick 156 in the fifth round. The biggest question, one, the Browns running back room is already loaded. We know that. They have Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, D'Ernest Johnson. Why draft a fourth running back? But then you look and say that there has to be something, whether it's in the works or it's going to happen. And not even those three plus Jerome Ford, but you also have Demetric Felton, who's like a running back, running wide receiver hybrid that they drafted last year. Mm-hmm. There has to be a trade incoming. And I'm assuming it's not when, or it's not if, it's when Kareem Hunt or D'Ernest Johnson had to be getting traded, correct?
Yeah. I would think so. I don't know. At least, I don't know, traded or cut, but I'm leaning towards D'Ernest because he still hasn't signed his whatever they call it, the exclusive rights kind of thing, tag that he was signed to earlier, or that the Browns placed on him. So I would lean towards him being the guy kind of out, and maybe they can get a pick for him. We'll see. I don't see teams trading picks for running backs, but we'll see. There's always a Houston. There's always a
wait. There's hold on. There. Where's Bill O'Brien? Bill O'Brien, get a GM job ASAP.
Right. You go to the Lions. I think they need it.
Who was the Colts GM when they traded a first round pick for Trent Richardson? Although I don't really want
to discuss Grigson. I think it was Grigson, the guy that worked for the Browns last couple of years, and I think he left then.
That explains a lot. That explains a lot. Yeah. And then yet again, I mean, I don't really. Yes, it was a steal that the Browns got a first round pick for Trent Richardson, but they used it on Johnny Manziel. So really wasn't a win for anyone involved. I think it was a lose-lose.
We might as well just kept him.
Exactly. So, yeah, but Jerome Ford, what does he bring? Is he like a speedster? Is he more of like a I'm going to bowl you over type running back?
He's actually similar to Kareem, actually, kind of. He's got the speed.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's got the speed. He's not going to – He's kind of bouncy almost, like, you know how Kareem, he's not the elusive guy. He jump cuts and all that. So he's similar towards that type, but he's still very kind of young. Obviously, I don't think they're going to trust him right away. But it just gives him another option down there. And they're both D'Ernest and, Kareem are on one year contracts if they do play this year. So in the end, it's either this year or next year where this makes sense. So I understood the pick.
Okay, so we might be waiting for next year then.
waitingfornextyear.com. Check it out.
Oh man. Sorry, I don't want to be so punny. I'm corny. On to the sixth round. Wide receiver Michael Woods from Oklahoma. I think he transferred to Oklahoma though, right? He started his Arkansas. I can't think of where he started. Yeah, so he started at Arkansas. I think he went 1 year at Oklahoma. I legitimately know nothing about him, but I do think it's fascinating that this is the third Oklahoma guy that the Browns drafted with Baker on the outs.
I know, right? Seriously. Before the pick came out, I didn't really know much about him. He's just another body. He's really in the running, as we talked about it kind of early before the podcast. But this is the year where we might actually have some of these guys just not make the team. He might be one of them. We'll see.
And that's okay. Hey, right. It's okay to draft a guy and have him cut. It's okay. I promise.
Right. Yeah. It just means your team stacked. Your team has depth. It's going to be interesting to see if he can fit in here. He's a good athlete, I believe, and he's got good height and all that, but he was like the third best receiver on Oklahoma. It's not a big thing because I think next year they have one of the top receivers coming out. So it's not like a slight to him, but it's just his best year was probably last year at Arkansas. He produced more, but he also had poor quarterback play at Oklahoma this year, which didn't help. He literally went in the only year that they didn't have good quarterback play. picked the wrong time.
Yeah, but, you brought up Oklahoma having like a down year. I mean, him being like the second wide receiver or whatever, and it made me think, random tidbit, this has nothing to do with the Browns, but the University of Texas had zero players drafted this year. That is bonkers to me.
And Cincinnati had like seven or something, I think it was. Yeah.
I mean, I get like maybe some of their best players weren't draft eligible, which, I mean, makes sense, I guess. But the fact that Texas had no players drafted is incredible. shows you how far Texas has fallen, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And
one of the richest football, high school football states in the country, and you had no players drafted in the 2022.
Right. I wonder if you look at just the people that were drafted, how many people are actually from Texas? Probably quite
true,
a few.
True. quite a few. I bet you some of Ohio State's guys that got drafted are from Texas.
Yeah. Oklahoma. Yeah. Probably any Big 12 team. Yeah. It's kind of interesting to see that.
So on to the next pick, 223. And I guess Woods was the second Oklahoma guy taken. This is the third. Isaiah Thomas, the 5'9" point guard, the former Cavalier. No, I'm kidding.
He returns.
Imagine at him point. Oh my gosh, he would be freaking. He would get dominated in football. But Isaiah Thomas, it's not spelled the same as the basketball player. Seventh round, 223 overall, edge rusher again. One. Like we've been discussing, it's depth. If he makes the team, he makes the team. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I mean, this late in the draft, not every guy's gonna make the team. I mean, fifth.
Yeah.
I didn't even say fourth round and on. It's not a promise. Fifth round and on. It's really not a promise. But right. Tell us what Isaiah Thomas brings to the table for us.
I actually like this pick. He was highly productive at Oklahoma. He had back to back years at at least eight sacks. He's one of their best pass rushers. I actually think he'll stick on this team, obviously given the need at edge rusher, but I think talent wise, I think he deserves it. A lot of people thought he would go earlier. So I thought it was a great pick. Position of need, doubling up at a position of need is always a smart move. I like the pick, and I think he could work his way as a developmental guy. And maybe down the road, kind of, be a contributor on this team.
Now, assuming that the Browns do re-sign Clowney, will they keep five edge rushers, or would he make a practice squad?
So it'll be interesting to see. So they usually take 9 defensive linemen. They switched each year. They've switched where the 5 comes from and where the 4 comes from, based on just the kind of the talent in the interior. I think they probably will keep 4 there and go towards 5 at the edge rusher. This is all depending on Jadeveon Clowney coming back. But I think that will probably be the way they go. I can't really. They have Togiai and then Perry on Winfrey, Elliott, and then Taven Bryan in the interior. And other than that, they have. Not a lot to talk about, so I can see them just going with 4.
People might question if the group is so not small, but if there's not a lot of talent in the group, why only keep 4? And when you're going to keep 5 edge rushers when you have Myles Garrett? But the fact of the matter is, I mean, Joe just said it, they literally don't have a 5th guy that is worth keeping in the interior defensive line right now, unless they sign someone. I guess they can go out and sign someone. But right now, there's not a 5th guy worth keeping.
Right. And the nice thing is, obviously, this is, again, with Jadeveon in mind. They have a lot of guys that are versatile that can play inside. Myles Garrett, obviously, can play inside. Jadeveon can play inside. The new guy, oh, my God, I can't think of his name right now.
Chase Winovich?
Alex Wright.
Oh, I thought you were talking about traffic. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, Alex Wright. He's big enough to play inside. So they have the guys that can actually play versatile roles for him. So that's why I kind of lean towards edge rusher being the group that actually has the more guys in it.
Yeah. I mean, you can never have too much depth at edge.
Right.
Just give me like a guy that is not going to be the next Myles Garrett. We all know that's far from the truth because Myles Garrett is the top 2 defensive end in the NFL. Yep. Him and TJ Watt. I'm not going to have the argument of who's better, but they're top 2.
Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
I'll have the argument.
I agree. It's not really an argument. That's why I was. But I'm with that. The final pick for the Browns in the 2022 NFL draft on Saturday. Center Dawson Deaton from Texas Tech, number 246 overall in the 7th round. Besides his name being cool, I legitimately legitimately know nothing about this guy.
Right. Yeah. He's another kind of athletic interior guy. The kind of interesting part is they already have two centers, and like Nick Harris seems to be the one that's going to be starting. And then they got a veteran, Ethan Piocic, I believe it's pronounced. So it'll be interesting to see. Maybe they kind of work him as a swing offensive guard center kind of player, because he's very athletic, like that can maybe possibly do that. But he's also another one that could be cut. We'll see.
Forgot to unmute myself, but that's okay.
I know, I was like, oh, a
seventh
man,
round pick. I hit M, but M took me to the URL. So now I have MLB tag typed in the URL. but yeah, it's a seventh round pick.
Right.
I can, if you went back and looked, I bet you more than 50% of seventh round picks get cut.
Yeah.
Or at least to the practice squad.
Right. Yeah. They get moved to the
practice. I don't know the research, but I mean, like, it's okay. Browns fans, yeah. I promise you, it's okay if not all the draft picks are on the team.
Yeah. And it's just kind of, we're in a position that next few years, the draft is not going to be the way to get like top tier talent that's going to come in right away. It's going to be used as depth, because with all the high priced guys on the team, like Deshaun and Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, all those guys, they can't afford to have like kind of pay the lower ends of the depth chart. So it's going to be these draft picks. So
that, yeah, I'd say that said though, too, is that you also need some of these draft picks to turn into something, because
you're right.
On the rookie contracts, you need rookies. Well,
right.
Not you rookies, but produce, you need rookie contracts that are going to produce, because of you're paying Deshaun Watson, you're paying Amari Cooper, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You want to at least hit on some of them. That's why I think that you're going to see over the next few drafts, they're going to take quite a few. There's 9 this year. They already have 8, I think, 8 draft picks next year. That's even without a first round pick. I just think each year they're going to try to get as many kind of picks out of the bucket to just see if someone can kind of work their way out and be a productive guy for them. So just getting depth and kind of more chances at the bucket.
Yes, absolutely. That's why, like, I don't mind them trading down when they did, because they got 3 worthwhile picks for the price of 1.
Right. That's another. I know I have to kind of change my thinking about it too. It's just going to be a different way of viewing the draft over the next few years.
Not only is it going to be different just because the Browns are so talented in a lot of places on the field, but they don't have a first round pick, and 2, hopefully they'll be a playoff team for the next few years, at least the next few years. So that means that their first pick is going to be mid to late second round, which you're dropping all the way to like 45 to 60 by then, or even later than 60, which I'm not going to say that yet, but
60.
Yeah. Just, but then Bill Polian, I know I tweeted this out. I think it was Saturday. Bill Polian once said rounds 1 through 3 are the easy picks to make. Rounds 4 through 7 are the picks that make Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
That's true. Cause if you can get a productive guy 4 through 7, he's not only cheap, but that is like, it's huge just because, I don't know, it's huge in multiple ways, just because the contracts and just because picks 4 through 7 or in the 7th or 4th round through 7th round, you just hope maybe 1 a year turns into like something. Maybe if you get two, that's really good. 3 is bonkers.
Right. Yeah. It's just the Patriots did that for so many years. Now I don't know what the hell they're doing draft-wise.
I'm just gonna say but I love Sean McVay. I love that video of Sean McVay thinking, "Wow, we just wasted our time. We thought we can get him in the 3rd round," and it was the quarterback that the Patriots took in the 1st round. I laughed so hard at that. But people would say, "Oh, that's the Patriot way." You can't use that excuse anymore. Like, what are you doing, Bill?
Over the past few years, they've not drafted well. You can just look at their receiving core.
Exactly. Like,
they maybe so many receivers that none of them have
paid. You could also say though that maybe Tom Brady covered up a lot of those holes too.
True.
Because he just made everyone better. which, yeah, hey, hopefully Deshaun Watson does, right, too.
That's, yeah, you can actually lead into that. That's Deshaun Watson.
Like, I'm comparing Deshaun Watson to Tom Brady, and you're comparing freaking Cade York to Justin Tucker. Uh-oh.
That's what we're doing here, man. Elite talents we got on this team. But yeah, it's just a different style quarterback. We have an elite quarterback now that can actually hide, kind of make players around him better rather than the talent around him making the quarterback better, which we've had to deal with in the past few years.
Past 25 years.
Yeah. But yeah, he's gonna make the receivers better. He's just gonna make it a lot easier for everybody on the offense. So it's gonna be fun to see.
Yes,
when he's on the field.
That's for no. We already had that conversation. We already had the podcast. We don't have to worry about it. Right. I would say that's for another conversation, but we already had that podcast.
Yeah.
So that's all the picks the Browns did. I mean, nothing like too earth shattering or it's too exciting besides Perrin Winfrey's press conference and Instagram live video.
Yeah.
Just because the Browns didn't have a first round pick. They traded their second round pick. It just is what, like we've been saying all this podcast. It's for depth purposes, and you're hoping that two, maybe three guys turn into something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why they kind of went with nine guys this year rather than just kind of sitting there with seven. So it was when you look at it, that's why we can't make rash judgments right away. When you look at the whole thing. That's no fun. Right now, right? I still obviously would have liked someone. There's a few guys at 44 that I like, but overall, I understood it, and I understand the game plan there.
Yeah, I completely agree. Any final thoughts regarding the NFL draft before we move on?
No, not really. I think overall, I got annoyed by the constant Baker Mayfield. I said this on the grievance pod last night, but God almighty. Just the constant every day. There was.
Is he still on the Browns? I literally have no idea, right? After watching the draft.
Right? Seriously, every time the Browns are on the clock. Oh, what are they going to do with Baker? Well, who cares?
I love Baker. I really do. It sucks that it didn't work out just because he was an easy guy to root for until the end. But he's gone. He's going to get traded.
Right.
He's not going to get cut. There's there's no point in cutting Baker Mayfield.
Right.
Can we just all wrap our heads around the fact that
he's not going to play for the Browns.
He's not going to play for the Browns, and there's no point in cutting him.
I don't know how many times I heard Ian Rappaport just say he might actually stick around during training camp and play for the Browns.
Yeah, he'll probably be imagine that. I can't believe they haven't brought up the quarterback RV yet. Like, even if Baker's still on the team, he's not gonna be at training camp. He's in Austin, Texas right now. He will be there until he gets traded. I can promise you that.
Yes, I can promise you that too.
So yeah, just like the whole, and then secondly, cutting him. What does cutting him accomplish? You're still gonna pay the entire salary, which by the way, if the Browns tell a team that they're going to pay for his entire salary for them to take them, they'll trade for him. I can promise you. Right. The Browns can at least get a sixth-round pick if they pay for Baker Mayfield's entire $18 million salary. Yeah. So, like, I don't get why people think that he's going to get cut. It's not going to happen.
Also, that, like, the deadline was somehow just this draft. Like,
exactly.
You know, there's future drafts after this. I know it's a wild thing.
Literally, the worst-case scenario is that he's still a Cleveland Brown after the season, which means that they literally just paid him $18 million to stay in Austin, Texas. Wow, what a freaking gig that is. Give me that.
I know, right?
And then they get a comp pick for him when he signs elsewhere as a free agent next year. So that's the worst case scenario is that they still get a draft pick for him, even if they don't trade him, which is like, even when people suggest that he might get cut, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right. I know. It was just they had nothing else to talk about.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we obviously have more to talk about. The news that broke a little bit before we hopped on here. Hugh Jackson took another L as a head coach of the Cleveland Browns somehow. He finishes his Browns. I don't even know. He went like, let's see. Officially, he went 3-36-1 two and a half years. That is, wow. He had three wins in two and a half years. That is crazy. That's so bad. With the additional L, he finishes 3-37-1 as a Browns coach. We don't even need to stress it, but the fact that he got the other African-American coaches cannot be happy.
No.
That he embarrassed them in that lawsuit. Because he also said that the Browns paid him off to lose more games. Right. And then he
had no evidence.
Took it to the NFL, had no evidence, and never met with investigators. Like, Hugh Jackson, what are you doing, man?
Like, you're hurting the people that actually need, like, this is an important situation, and he just like always, he sticks his head in the things that he shouldn't, and he just gets another L. He's
little do we know. Little do we know that Hugh Jackson would still be catching L's even after leaving the Browns. The fact that he's a head coach even at Grambling State, man,
that's
good luck. Good luck. I'm so glad he's not with the Browns anymore, and I'm so glad that lawsuit that he filed that he had no evidence on and did not even meet with investigators because he knew that he had nothing is now nothing.
Yeah. You know it's bad when the team was like, yes, please. Please investigate this. Please, yes, let's see it. Let's see what we got here. Like,
yeah, NFL exactly.
NFL teams don't invite investigations often.
Well, Jimmy Haslam does, but that's for another time.
True.
We are not going back down that road.
No.
Undrafted free agents. You hope to find a diamond in the rough out of the thousands that there are. Although I did see a stat, which I can't stand these stats. It was something like, there are more undrafted free agents in the Hall of Fame than there are first overall picks. I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah,
how many undrafted free agents are there every single year? And there's literally one first overall pick every year. That's like saying there's more three stars in the NFL than there are five star recruiting rankings. Well, yeah, there's only 20 to 25 five star recruits every year. There's 1,000 three stars. I just hate that.
I laugh at that every time. Like, dude, like, what are we doing here?
Like, obviously, there's like the one player is better. Because he's going first overall and he's not undrafted. But there's a far greater chance just because of how many undrafted guys there are. I'm not going to go through the full list just because, like we said, you hope to find one diamond in the rough. But the Browns are hoping to find one diamond in the rough for a guy that has not played a down of football since his freshman year of high school. He played 3 years of basketball at VCU, transferred to Texas Tech, and played 2 years. Marcus Santos Silva.
Yeah, played
they are too. Signing him as a tight end. He is a big boy, 6'7", 245.
Yep.
Please, please, please do
Antonio
not.
Antonio Gates 2.0.
Do not bring up Antonio Gates every time a basketball player signs with the NFL team. Please don't. Because that's, like Graham. I said, there are 1,000 basketball players that have done that. There's only one Antonio Gates, NFL Hall of Famer. Former Kent State basketball legend that went on, he went on to have a Hall of Fame career with the San Diego Superchargers. But there's literally no film on him. I like the fact that he's 6'7", 245. The Browns need a third tight end just because they haven't released Alex Hooper yet or Austin Hooper yet just because he costs a lot less than the dead cap after June 1st. But they need a third tight end. So you might as well just throw. Take a chance on some guys.
Right. There's a few guys actually on the undrafted kind of in that same, obviously not playing football since high school, but just kind of the freak athletes. There's a guy from Northern Iowa who, if anyone looks at RAS, the athletic testing grade that is.
I was literally just going to bring him up, by the way.
Right. Yeah. he's quite high on that rating, and he's an interesting guy. Obviously, Northern Iowa is not the biggest school in the world, so his competition was a bit lower. But yeah, he's there's just a few guys that are. Those are the kind of things you kind of gamble on. You kind of gamble on the athleticism and hope you maybe have something.
And Isaiah Weston, I'm on the page right now.
Yeah.
He led the FCS in yards per catch and had more receiving yards in 2021 than Christian Watson, who was he was like the 11th or 12th receiver off the board, I think.
Something, yeah.
Let's be honest. There's a reason why this guy went undrafted, but still. Weston is 6'4", 210, ran a 4.42, leaped 40-inch vertical. I wish I could do that. 135-inch broad jump and RAS score of 9.98.
Yeah.
So almost
perfect. And that's out of 10. Yes, and that's out of 10. So just to give you a little baseline of what we're looking at. It's
Unlike David Bell, he did test well.
Yes. If you somehow put those two together, that's a number one pick right there.
you're not wrong.
But
like we said, undrafted free agents. There's a reason why like every team signs so many guys. Like I said, there's probably almost 1,000 of them, I'd say.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just throwing down the list now. I think Browns already sound like
a name for fans. I know that he'll quickly become a preseason favorite of everybody is Silas Kelly of Coastal Carolina. Just go Google him, Silas Kelly. Just Google.
Is it a picture? I'm trying to think of why I remember seeing. Is it a picture or a video?
It's he had a story. He had a whole story on just him and his the other linebackers. It's he's gonna be a fan favorite. I can quickly.
So Perry on Winfrey and Silas.
Right. Yeah, he's gonna be a fan favorite pretty quickly. And there's a guy from Fisk, which I've never heard of ever.
Where's Fisk? Is it Frisk? Like they're gonna frisk you, or is it Fisk?
I don't know. I've never heard of Fisk in my life.
Hold on. Now I need to Google where Frisk is. Is it college or university?
It just says Fisk. That's all it says.
Oh, Fisk University. The cornerstone of excellence in education.
What state are we in?
Sorry guys, I'm Googling because now I'm interested. Oh, Nashville, Tennessee. I bet you like country music.
Yeah.
That's a plus one in my book. I know a lot of you are country music haters, but that's a plus one. But yeah, it is Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's the cornerstone of excellence in education. Over 150 years.
Ooh,
I wonder it has to be Division 3, right?
I would assume so.
It has to be. But I'm Googling again. Oh, NAIA.
Oh, so wow.
They are technically D1, but they're NAIA.
Yeah.
Interesting.
NAIA is more like kind of 2 and 3-ish between that.
Joe Gilbert, who is Joe Gilbert, the podcaster's dad, said Dustin Crump did the Browns
sign him as
Chiefs?
The Chiefs, yeah.
So for those of you unfamiliar, Northeast Ohio's own Dustin Crump, he went started at Midview, went to
Starred there.
I think he went somewhere else, and then he went to Kent. I think he transferred.
Straight to Kent. But did he?
Not dominated at Kent, but he played really well at Kent, at least for the last
year. He made Kent good.
Yeah, exactly. So,
a tall
there, order. Dustin Crum, the next Patrick Mahomes. There you go.
Yes. They're grooming him down there.
Oh, man. All right, but we talked. Anything to look forward to in the near future in the offseason besides Jadeveon Clowney signing, which I think will happen sooner rather than later, hopefully. Fingers crossed, knock on wood.
Right, I know. Yeah, I think it just kind of watching for filling out this roster. There's a few spots, maybe getting a receiver, maybe a third tight end, obviously a edge rusher. So just kind of look at those situations because it's kind of weird. This year there's still a lot of free agents left. Like the edge rusher, there's a lot of veterans. just not even Jadeveon Clowney. There's quite a few. So I would just keep an eye on that. And then I think the schedule comes out, what, May 12th, something, a couple weeks.
That is, yes, it's May 12th. That's, someone asked me when the NBA draft lottery was, and I was like, all right, it's either May 12th or May 14th, but I can't think of why the other date was in my head. Yes, May 12th NFL schedule, so it's Tuesday. NBA draft lottery, which is important for the Cavs because they're going to get the number one overall pick with the 14th best odds in the worst odds in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
May 14th. So that is a very important week.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see the, obviously we know the opponents, but we'll see how many prime time games we have. And just the other thing kind of you don't want to look forward to is just seeing if Deshaun Watson gets his gets any resolution or whatever his situation is.
It's probably kinda, not going to happen. That's only 10 days from now.
Yeah. It's just, and then maybe whatever the NFL wants to do with him. So it'll be interesting to see just what's going on there. Yeah, just stuff to take a look at. And we're almost, what, 2 months away? May, June, they start, what, July, I think, usually?
Yes.
Yeah, so 2 months away. Which is wild.
Yeah, because it's weird. It's wild too, because like it's summer and then it's a Hall of Fame game, and you're like, "Holy cow!" It's almost football season.
I know. Right? You always know when the summer's about to end when
because the Hall of Fame game is literally like the training camp starts Thursday, Hall of Fame game Saturday. I'm like, no wonder. Okay. And by the way, there are betting odds out for the Hall of Fame game already. I'm like, are you that, like, I'm a degenerate, but I'm not that big of a degenerate.
Like, you don't even know who's gonna play.
Like, what third stringers are going to play, for one? And two, it's literally like 3 months, 4 months away, 3 months away.
Right. Especially now, like none of the starters play preseason hardly anymore.
Hold on. I'll literally tell you the odds right now for who they
have. Who is it? Is it Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh was last year, wasn't it?
I forget who it is this year.
One, I'll tell you. There's odds out already.
Is it an AFC North team or is it not? I forget.
Jaguars versus Raiders. Raiders are favored by 1.5 somehow. So the Raiders third stringers and fourth stringers and fifth stringers are favored by 1.5.
Too bad Herb's not back.
Oh my gosh. But why the Raiders versus Jaguars, by the way? That is such a gross matchup.
Usually they do something, it's like whoever made the class.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Hall of Fame.
I can't think of who made the class. No Jaguars did. I know that. I don't, unless it's a really old time guy.
Let's see.
It wouldn't be like Charles Woodson because he already got in it. I honestly have no idea.
Let's see.
Because it was Pittsburgh last year, which obviously brought in a ton of people.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was one of the I think it was because they joined so many guys together. Oh, there is a Jaguar on this.
Really?
Oh. Tony Vercelli. He's
an Like, that brings me no excitement. At least, like, with the Steelers, you like, have, like, old-time football. Jaguars, Raiders? A team that moved from their city of Oakland, and the Jaguars, who are, like, fighting for the number one pick, seems like every year they're, like, the new Browns.
Yeah. And then Cliff Branch and Richard Seymour also played for the Raiders.
Oh, yes. You're right. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Just
Cliff Branch, I'm not.
That's such a boring matchup. I really want to ask people if, like, I just can't believe that there's already a Hall of Fame game spread.
Who's the favorite right now?
Las Vegas -1.5.
See, I would actually Jaguars. I would go with the Jaguars maybe because. I feel
just
like
their players are so bad that they might play the starters.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like they actually, like we actually might see Trevor Lawrence out on the field.
Jaguars first teamers are, yeah, that is true though. It's crazy to me. And they have an over under of 33.5. How do you know when it's literally going to be 90% of guys that might not even make the team?
Yeah, I don't know. 33.5. That's a little low. Low, I would say.
That must be history. It must be a
take the over.
It must always be the Hall of Fame game is low scoring. But yeah, we are always #take the over at this podcast.
Yeah. I feel like because no one plays and the offenses can't do anything, so that's why.
Man, how did we even get into the discussion of the Hall of Fame game, by the way? Oh, because we were talking about training
the offseason. Yes.
So I was thinking that we wouldn't be on here for a few weeks, but Joe and I will probably be with you. We'll play a little schedule game.
Yeah.
Or at least go over the schedule. I think it's May 12th. I think it's the NFL schedule's May 12th. NBA draft lotteries the 17th. I said May 12th and May 14th earlier. I think it's the 12th and the 17th. Thursday, Tuesday, maybe? Would that line up correctly?
Yeah, schedule release is Thursday, May 12th.
All right, so the draft lottery is Tuesday, May 17th. Yeah, I know it's 17th. That following week because it lines up with me and
Tuesday, May 17th.
Seth. Yeah, so it lines up with me and Seth doing it every other week, Cavs guest. So, yeah, Joe and I will be at Tuesday. It will probably get released. I'm soon. They'll probably do like a freaking 3-hour long show to release it. Damn schedules because it's the NFL.
And we will too here at waiting for next year.
But I don't know what time. If it's a 7 o'clock, hold on. Now we have to NFL schedule release.
I think it's 8. I think it said. Yeah, 8 o'clock is what the show is. But it usually, you know, it usually gets leaked out.
True. So if it gets, if the whole schedule gets leaked out, we will be on with you May 12th. So
I would go. We'll just look for us around 7 and 8. We'll be somewhere around.
But
there.
At the worst, it will be May 13th. It'll be the next night. We'll get on here, talk Browns, talk how they signed Jadeveon Clowney. Knock on wood.
Yes.
Talk how they signed Will Fuller. Knock on wood. And then we'll talk NFL. We'll play the NFL schedule game and talk about how the Browns are going to go 17-0 in the regular season.
Yeah. Super Bowl, Super Browns. Shout out to Ken Carmen.
Always. He's my favorite sports guy. One of my favorite. My bad. Kenny Rota. If Kenny Rota is listening, Kenny's my favorite too.
Kenny Rota just threw
Kenny Rota under the bus. I'm sorry. But any final thoughts?
On his show again.
No, I'll be on a show. Ohio State football season. Any final thoughts, though?
No, it was an interesting draft. Kind of boring, obviously, early on. But overall, they made good selections. I kind of like that they got some steals later on, and they addressed their needs, which is good to see.
Always good. Depth and address their needs. Can't ask for much more than that when you don't have a first-round pick and you traded your second-round pick for 3 picks that I really like, honestly. Trading 44 kind of stunk just because you were literally getting an even later pick than you already had your first one. Mm-hmm. But I like the 3 players they got for pick 44. So I'm all for it looking back. Hopefully that turned out to be a reality.
Yep.
I don't really have much final thoughts. I'm glad, like I said, Joe Gilbert is the real MVP at Waiting for Next Year. He covered the entire draft all weekend. I told him I'd be around to help, and I was zero help. So there we go. But someone had to
go to the wedding. Someone
damn people getting married. What the hell?
I think I had a wedding last year during the draft, or it was actually after. But yeah.
And now that you think, I think you did because I covered some of the draft picks.
Yeah.
Not looking back. But for those of you that joined us live, we appreciate it. Joe Gilbert, the dad, was the only one that commented, but please always comment, ask questions. We'll future you, I promise, unless it's Dave Sterling asking weird questions that sometimes take.
Hey, maybe we will answer those questions.
Sometimes, if they're appropriate, we will. It has to be PG-13.
Yes.
Like, Josh, why do you like Chipotle? I would future that and tell you why I like Chipotle and why Michael Bode's a hater. Michael Bode, my bad. Michael Bode's a hater and doesn't like Michael Bode.
Wow. Hater.
Hater. Too much haterade. But seriously, if you join us live, we appreciate it. We always appreciate you. And if you're listening to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast, we always appreciate that as well. We will be back with you in either 11 or 12 days, either May 12th when the schedule release happens, if it gets leaked early, or May 13th, the following day. So either 2 weeks from May 12th or May 13th. We'll be back with you. I was thinking 2 weeks from tomorrow, but literally it's already freaking May 1st. This year,
I know, right? I know. I couldn't believe yesterday was May 1st.
Yeah, I know, dude. We're already 4 months into this year. So thank you. We wherever you listen to us, whether it's live or podcast form, we always appreciate it. And we'll, Joe and I will be back with you May 12th or May 13th to play a little schedule game and talk about how the Browns are going to the Super Bowl and going to 16-0.
Yep.
Like always, and as usual, go Browns.
Go Browns.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.